Tonight on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Good evening, everybody. I'm Roger Lajoie here until 8:30 when we bring you the National League Championship Series coming up right here on the Sportsnet Radio Network and Sportsnet 590. The Fan, great to be with you. Well, quite a day. Quite a day. Got a couple of polls up on Twitter at the Rog 590, at Fan 590. Joining us in about a couple of minutes will be Gord Stellick. He's a host of Leafs Nation pre- and post-game coverage here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and many of these Sportsnet radio network stations. We'll also hear from Dan Rizanowski. He's a play-by-play voice for the Sharks on KFOX 95.8.5 FM in San Jose. And Mike Woolner will join us after 8 o'clock Eastern, talk about the NLCS and the ALCS. But breaking story, how big is it? How significant is it? In 2020, at age 41, that Joe Thornton has signed with the Toronto Maple Leafs is kind of a deal. Is it as big a deal as it would have been 5 years ago? Of course not, stating the obvious. But end of the day, kids, here's the deal with the Toronto Maple Leafs. We backtrack a couple of seasons ago. Kyle Dubas starts putting together this team, Brendan Shanahan, blame whoever you want, putting it all together, and not so much blame, but also giving them the acknowledgement. Hey, listen, a couple of years ago, people were throwing waffles on the ice at Maple Leaf games. People were throwing Leaf jerseys on the ice at Maple Leaf games. And they've had three consecutive years at plus 100 points. And I'm not an apologist for the Maple Leafs, but there's been some progress here, okay? So let's call this the way it is. So at any rate, a couple of years ago would have been significant. Jumbo Joe is great. He's been around a long time. He's a great senior citizen of the National Hockey League. Let's get that all out there. However, at age 41. But here's the rub. So Kyle Dubas and company decide they are going to structure this team. They're going to build this team, lock up their players, and they do. We'll never forget the comment. We can and we will. And they did. Signed them all. Long term. Matthews. Nylander. Tavares. In free agency. This team is the core is set, unless you make a deal and you go, so, all right, in a salary cap era, and then throw COVID in. Bottom line, end of the day, Joe Thornton, all right, Wayne Simmonds, and Jason Spezza, the three of them will play for the Toronto Maple Leafs in 2021-22, however this season goes. It's only going to be the 2021 season, but regardless, whenever they start, and the three of them in a salary cap era with a team backed up against a salary cap will make a combined $2.9 million and no obligations beyond this coming season. How, in any way, shape, or form, is that bad? I guess younger players don't get some playing time. You can always be the devil's advocate. That's the subject of the poll at the Rog 590, at the Rog 590 on Twitter. Email roger at sportsnet590.ca. Text 590-590 with your name and your location. But Jumbo Joe signs 1 year, $700,000 in a salary cap of $81 million? Sure. Why not? If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. I just see no negative to this at all. Your comments are welcome. We'll talk about it throughout the course of the show. And again, Dan Rizanowski from the San Jose play-by-play team will join us, give us the Sharks' perspective on this. Mike Woolner on baseball coming up. But right now, the great Gord Stellick joins us, host of Leaf Nation pre- and post-game right here on Sportsnet 590 Fan to talk about this and other off-season moves. Gordy, always great to talk to you. So Joe Thornton, $700,000, 1 year deal. Gord, I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked the Twitter audience. Yes or no?
Rod, you answered it. It's a no-brainer. You can't lose on this. Okay, you cannot lose on this. This isn't Patrick Marleau, 3 years at $6 million, whatever. That's not a shot at Patrick Marleau. Everything now is a fix with a number. It's not Wayne Simmonds going to New Jersey 1 year at $5 million. He's here 1 year at, what, $1.5 million. So it's, you know, Raj, to kind of jump ahead, because, you know, you and I have been around for a while, and I you chatted. Brian Burke had the good line last night, said on Tim, and said, okay, I got Jason Spezza. All I need is one car to drive. Why do I need the Joe Thornton car, too? I don't need two cars, right? I can only drive one at a time. But the more and more I talk to people in and around is, it's not an immature team, but it's not a mature team. And Sheldon Keefe, who was their coach and was the coach of the future and is the coach of the present, he mentioned that once or twice. I thought it was a great line. Like, their youth is a strength on the ice. It's exciting. I love it. I get charged by the youth, the young guys. But also, there's something maturity-wise that hasn't been there and really showed last year. And, you know, you've lost guys, whether it's Patrick Marleau, you've lost defensemen that have gone to Ottawa, things like that, you know, just other situations like that. So Wayne Simmonds, Joe Thornton, and Jason Spezza, this is a hump year. They need some examples. You know, last year, Jason Spezza, at least in the playoffs, Raj, he doesn't fight. But he tried to fight, saying, this is stupid. We're going out against Columbus with a whimper, not a bang. Like, we've had a disappointing regular season, and just when we're not playing Boston in the playoffs, we're bleeping the bed. And, you know, this can't happen again. This can't happen again. All those guys you just talked about, which is the nucleus of the Leafs, which is a very talented young core, and it's great they're locked up, they will get intangible value from these other guys who are coming in, understanding the roles, Raj. It's not going to be a malcontent veteran who said, I thought I was going to get 23 minutes of ice time. They get it. They want to come to Toronto for varying reasons. I think this is phenomenal signing.
I agree. You know, Gord, when it comes down to, I look at it this way, and I'll ask you if you agree. People use a cliche all the time in sports, home ice advantage. Home ice advantage is really important. Well, home ice advantage is really important if you win on home ice, if you take advantage of it. It seems like a simplistic, even stupid thing to say, but end of the day, it's a cliche unless you win at home ice. Here is the Leafs' home ice advantage with guys like Wayne Simmonds, Jason Spezza, Joe Thornton, and I don't know about Zach Bogosian. Maybe he feels the same way, but let's throw him in the mix. We'll put these four guys together. Four guys, Gordon, are going to make $3.9 million next year, combined in a salary cap era. I would suggest to you that none of those four would sign a similar contract anywhere else but Toronto. And people would say, well, it's a hometown or discount or whatever. I don't care if they're all finished. I don't care if they have nothing left. End of the day, the advantage the Leafs have is those guys will sign. Why wouldn't Joe Thornton sign with the Sharks after 15 years in that organization for $700,000? Because he wants to play in Toronto. He wants to finish his career. So let him finish his career. So, but if the Leafs don't take advantage of that home ice advantage they have with these guys, it would be rue on them. So they take a flyer. It's like, okay, and if it works, and you know, Gord, I guess this day and age, everything's black and white. You know, I make a comment, oh, you're saying the Maple Leafs are going to win the Stanley Cup. I said no such bloody thing. I said it's $700,000 for Joe Thornton to finish up. Hey, it's worth a shot. So it is what it is. It is what it is at his stage. But Gord, that's four players with all that combined experience at $2.9 million. And people who say, well, what are you expecting them to lead the Leafs to the Cup? No, I expect Matthews and Riley and Tavares and Nylander and the other guys making the Bucks to lead Marner to lead the Leafs, not these guys. It's just an add-on, Gord.
Yeah, but as you see with Patrick Maroon the last 2 years with two different teams, the spices are important. And you're right about, you know, those are the other guys that are going to be the key. And Raj, you know, and definitely throw Zach Bogosian in the mix and throw Gary Roberts and Joe Nieuwendyk in the mix years ago about, you know, we end up being apologists sometimes in Toronto. We pay all this money for tickets. We sell it all the time. And then we go, who would want to play here? There's so much pressure. Everybody would want to play. If you're from Toronto, you know, there's pressure but you get your ass kissed left, right, and center. There's pressure that you get recognized all the time. Like, if you want to go to Florida, go. If you want to tell me it's a, you know, tax-free state, go. You want to go to Arizona, go. All I know is when I was a kid, I had posters of Bobby Orr or whatever in my room. Our son Justin has Jonathan Taves. He does not have the top accountants from KPMG, okay? Like, seriously, that's what you want? You know, you're going to say, like, who can give me the best tax return? Come on. You know, Henrik Lundqvist loved playing in New York, right? Taves and Kane in Chicago. That's not about, you know, whatever. I do get these all facts to factor in when you make a decision. I want guys who want to play here. Why would you not want to play here if you're from this area? It's ridiculous you would not want to play here. And Mitch Marner is one of those guys that just says that. Why would you not want to be a Toronto Maple Leaf? In my opinion, it's a biased opinion. So I think you're capitalizing on these guys' desire to do that. They wouldn't take these deals, I think most of them, in any other situation. Now, yeah, I'm not picking the Leafs to win the Stanley Cup either, Raj, but probably number one and two guys that everyone's pulling for to win a Stanley Cup are Joe Thornton and Henrik Lundqvist, and we have them. Jason Spezza wouldn't be far behind, and Wayne Simmonds wouldn't be far behind. In all seriousness, like, you know, three guys, like Zach Bogosian just won it. He can tell them, you know what? Money was money. I did whatever. I won a Stanley Cup in Tampa Bay. Wow. Okay? And you can impart those intangibles along with John Tavares, so I think was a bit of an island, you know, without Ron Hainsey there and other guys like that from before about that needed. And it's not just veterans. It's the right veterans, okay? It's the right veterans. And I really think they've added that, Raj.
Well, I agree too, Gord. And I guess you really touched on one thing. And by the way, don't apologize for biased opinions because all opinions are biased. That's why they're opinions. That's what I have always felt about it is we all have our opinion based on our bias and how we see the world and how I see the world in terms of the Maple Leafs. And I know, listen, it's not everybody's cup of tea. And there's a lot of guys that don't want that absolute scrutiny. I get it. And go play in Carolina and nobody knows who you are. You can go have dinner with your wife and nobody will bug you. Yet, on game day, they'll still swarm you at the arena. I get it. I do understand all that. But a lot of people think, well, you know, a Toronto Maple Leaf player and the intense pressure. Gord, and this is the way I look at it, is if any Toronto Maple Leaf, it doesn't matter who he is, it doesn't matter what he did the night before. If he walked into a restaurant anywhere in Toronto, people would surround him. They'd lose their minds. They'd just beg to have their picture taken with him for 5 seconds. They might rip him on Twitter afterwards for his performance the night before. But it is, hockey players are idolized in Toronto. It's not a difficult place to live. You don't go outside after you lost 5-3 and go, oh, man, I can't go outside. What are people going to say to me? People will swarm you and look for your autographs when they see you next. It's just a fact. And I'm not criticizing. It's just a comment of the way it is. And this perception of, oh, my goodness, geez, it's so tough for players in Toronto or whatever. You win a playoff round after this team hasn't won a playoff round in 15 years. And you play for the Toronto Maple Leafs in 2021, you will never buy yourself a drink in this city again.
And, you know, and nowadays, Raj, you're insulated about certain things, which is different. That in Maple Leaf Gardens, you had to come out of that door at Church and Wood Street, okay? You had to come out. You physically had to go through the front throng. And I can remember Daryl Sittler with his late wife, Wendy, trying to make a left from Wood Street onto Church, back in the big fur coat era, right? And he's got his window down, and he's just cars surrounded. He's signing autographs as he's trying to navigate in the post-game rush hour traffic out of there. So at least now, you know, things can be insulated that way. But I know, you know, Dave Reed talked about chatting with Gary Roberts about playing in Toronto, and they were kidding. And he just said, Dave Reed said, when I played in Colorado, you could have a morning skate, and you could keep your skates on in your uniform, and you could walk through downtown Denver. And unless you were Patrick Waugh or Joe Sakic, nobody would have any idea who you were. And you were on a team that was winning Stanley Cups, right? You know, so, you know, and Brian Burke keeps talking about it, that Canadian-based teams quite often are involved in the no-trade clauses for many reasons. But he says, if you play in one at the end of your career, it's likely your best experience. So all I'm saying is, you know, in places, stop apologizing for how difficult it is. New York Yankees don't apologize how difficult it's to play in New York. You know, that's a high tax state. That's got a lot of media stuff. And you got, hey, the ones that say bring it are the ones I want on my New York Yankee team, and they're the ones I want on my Toronto Maple Leaf team.
So well said. Gord Stellick is a host of Leaf Nation pre- and post-game. I'm Roger Lajoie, Sportsnet Tonight. Your comments welcome on Twitter at TheRog590, text 590-590, or email Roger at Sportsnet590.ca. Okay, Gord, all of that and our emotions and our thoughts on this and opinions out of the way. How do you see Joe Thornton fitting into this mix in terms of what he's still got left in the tank and where he can contribute? We got the leadership, got it. We got the fact that, you know, in the dressing room he carries a lot of weight. But during games, is he going to be a third liner, a fourth liner? Like, what do we think Joe Thornton can still bring to the party?
Well, I think part of it, he wants to look for specks of his beard that Nazem Kadri pulled out of him on Scotiabank Arena center ice when they had that fight a couple of years ago. So that might be part of his motivation. But, you know, you kind of saw it when Montreal, you said, wait a sec, you've got the highest paid goalkeeper going, the best number one, and then you went and got a big number two and you paid him handily. And you're saying, yeah, because you just mentioned it. It's not a 2020-2021 season. It's a 2021 season, whatever it may be. And it's going to be compressed. And you're going to play, like you see right now, seven consecutive baseball games, which is unheard of in the playoff going on. So that's why you really need a two goaltending system. Even if you end up playing fewer regular season games, they're going to be quite compressed. And that's part of extra players being carried, is you're going to do that. You're going to fit roles, and you're going to sort of pre-plan about, you know, whatever. And so a Spezza or a Thornton don't play back-to-back. And, you know, there's a little bit, they can play the wing if need be. There's a second power play, which the Leafs really, you know, had going for a while, then didn't have going for a while, but whatever, second power play opportunities, particularly with guys like Kapanen and Janssen no longer with the team, you know. So I can see that kind of thing. Simmons is a different role that way, but I can totally see it. And the thing is, Roger, you got to believe going into it, they 100% know what's going on. And the Leafs know 100%. These aren't like, because you've been around it too, and I've been around it. And sometimes, hey, people out there are listening, and they can identify with somebody in their offices or where they work that had a great run, but it's not going so great, so they're not going out so well, right? They're kind of going out pissed off and whatever. And back in my day, and they're anything but a mentor to people. You know, you thought they would mentor a bit, anything but. And these guys would not be resting on their laurels. They would be excellent mentors. And Jason Spezza already showed it last year.
Agreed. If they get from Thornton what they got from Spezza last year, combined with Spezza this year, Simmons, and to a certain extent, Bogosian, who's still only 30, 31 years old, however old he is, that could offset a lot of the experience they're missing. So totally agree there. Gord, we got a couple of minutes. I got to ask you, because one of the things we wanted to have you on about was now, you know, the Stanley Cup, we can take a breath. We still got all this free agency, which is exciting, and signings and everything else, and how teams are shaping up. But what the NHL is going to look like, and you know, the owner of the Vegas Golden Knights, I don't know if he let the cat out of the bag or was just a little loose with the tongue, but was even suggesting that he thinks, never mind what Gary Bettman said at the draft, January 1st, might be February, might be a shorter season, might even have a Canadian, i.e. Northern Division, to get around the border. No, but none of us really know what's going to transpire. But now, you know, if let's put it this way, Gord, if you're going to play hockey in January, it's October the 16th. It just shows you got to start making plans already. Do you have any thoughts, expectations as to what this season may look like? Or is it just a big, giant question mark and we're all going to have to sit tight here maybe for, say, to 5-6 weeks until we see where the world is at then?
Yeah, and keep in mind, like, unless you make it to the final, you know, the gap is really, if you didn't make the playoffs, which I'm talking the 16 teams make it, you know, this kind of gap is identical to what you would have had. You know, now you got the seven teams that didn't make the bubble, and that gap is a long, long time for them. So the first thing on the date, I'm going to split the difference, say January 15th. Okay. There's no expertise there. We're all kind of guessing that way, but the NFL and Major League Baseball are doing us favors to a degree as they're showing about how they move forward without a bubble. I know baseball has a bubble right now in the playoff thing, but they move forward, and you know, they have situations. The NFL has it now, and people say, oh, well, you know, it's going to go under. Well, no, you've got to adapt and move and, you know, figure it out. You still have to be responsible. And particularly here in Canada, we're being that way about, you know, trying to appreciate the best way to try to not let the COVID virus grow. So anyway, whatever that may be, it's understood. There will be less games. The Canadian division is a no-brainer. And he was responding, the owner, because he was asked about Nate Schmidt being traded to Vancouver and what, because he was pissed that Vegas traded him. So when they play, and the owner said, well, it's going to be in the Canadian division. And I can see that being a likelihood because it eliminates any broader questions for a first while. And I could almost see, Roger, that the NHL announces a schedule but doesn't, but has different remedies for the second half of the schedule. So they announce the schedule, and then there's tentative things for the second half. And the first half is those four divisions, three divisions of eight in the States, one division of seven in Canada. And no, you're not going to fly to Vancouver for a night. If you go out west, you're going to play two consecutive days. So you'll play Edmonton twice, two games in 2 days, whatever. Maybe you have a day off, play Vancouver twice, day off, play Calgary twice. And same thing when they come east. I mean, that's the kind of things. There'll be a compressed schedule that way, and, you know, they'll look at it. And then when it moves on a bit, they'll figure out, can we now, is the border open? Can we now mesh things a little bit more? I believe they will expand the playoffs again. Okay, I believe they will, given the unique circumstances. And the hope is whenever the playoffs are, let's say it's June, that at that point, you know, you're allowed pretty well a full building. Right now, Eugene Melnyk talks about Ottawa has figured out they can socially distance and get 6,000 fans in. Maybe that'll be in place by January 1st, 15th, or February 1st, and you go from there.
Yeah, that's a hope, and we've seen it, baseball and the NFL. In fact, one of the things that people aren't talking about enough, I don't think, about the NL Championship Series is the paid attendance is 10,700 every night. So it's not much, but it is a start. There are 10,700 people sitting in that stadium that seats 50,000 or whatever it does in Texas, and maybe that's the way to go. Before I let you go then, Gord, let's look at the whole body of work that we've seen so far then. So we look at TJ Brody, everything. The Maple Leafs, as we sit here on, what is it, October the 16th, are they a better team than they were when they were knocked out by Columbus in the first round?
Well, I'm saying yes. But I'm also saying, Roger, last year I was more excited about Tyson Barrie coming than any move they made this offseason, okay? So it just shows how things go, that we look back at it, and they started with a dysfunctional management coaching structure with Mike Babcock understanding that Sheldon Keefe was the heir apparent and deciding that he was going to show to Sheldon Keefe that, okay, you signed Tyson Barrie, guess what? He's going to play my way, which ends up being ineffective. Hey, you signed Jason Spezza? Guess what? I'm going to question why he's around in training camp, and I'm not going to start in the first game. Those are huge things, Raj. When you have a toxic or dysfunctional setup that way, you never get going. And they never got off properly last year. So I think in this environment, and that's the biggest thing. That's the biggest thing I'm saying. In this environment, that all those things, yeah, definitely make them a better team heading into next regular season.
Whenever that may be, we shall see. But exciting news today, Joe Thornton signs a one-year, $700,000 deal with the Maple Leafs today. Gord Stellick is the Leafs Nation pre- and post-game show host right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, joining us to talk about it. Gord, always great to have you on the show. Thanks so much, pal.
Pleasure, Raj.
Thank you, sir. Gord Stellick joining us as the Leafs sign Joe Thornton. So what do you think? Yes or no? Nice short question on Twitter tonight, yes or no? And earlier, before the Thornton signing, I also wanted to know what your World Series dream matchup would be. Do you want to see the Dodgers in the World Series? Is it time for them to break through? Do you hate the Rays? So anybody but the Rays. On the other hand, everybody hates the Astros. So who's picking the Astros? I give you the four possible combinations on Twitter. Vote in. We'll discuss that as well. And we'll get your thoughts on the Joe Thornton signing as well. But coming up, there's always another side to any signing. And this signing in San Jose, pardon me, in Toronto, of San Jose's longtime veteran Joe Thornton certainly has ramifications for San Jose. Dan Rizanowski is a longtime voice of the San Jose Sharks at KFOX 98.5. He'll join us, give us his thoughts. And later in this hour, we'll also play the reaction of Patrick Marleau, who was on The Good Show earlier, talking about what Joe Thornton meant to him, what he meant to San Jose as a teammate, and what he might mean to the Toronto Maple Leafs moving forward. All that's coming up at Sportsnet tonight until 8:30, and then we've got the NLCS coming up. I'm Roger Lajoie. This is Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Sportsnet tonight on the Sportsnet Radio Network. I'm Roger Lajoie here until 8:30, at which time we will go to the National League Championship Series. Game 5, did the Atlanta Braves finish it off against the Los Angeles Dodgers? Pre-game 8:30, first pitch just after 9 o'clock. The ALCS is also in a potential showdown elimination game today. Tampa Bay up on Houston, 1-0, top of the fourth inning. I wonder if anybody is cheering for the Houston Astros. Outside of people who live in the Houston, Texas area and longtime Astro fans. And we all know the reason why, the Astros, their history. And that's the topic, subject of the first poll that I put out on Twitter today before the big news of the day of Joe Thornton came out. We got 200 votes in. We appreciate the votes. What is your preferred World Series matchup? And by the way, you'll hear all the World Series games right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Sportsnet Radio Network. And there's only four combinations left because there are only four teams left, and only two, obviously, can play in the World Series. Braves versus Rays, Braves versus Astros, Dodgers versus Rays, or Dodgers versus Astros. Those are the only four things we could possibly see come World Series time. So far, just about half of you, 49.2%, want to see the Braves versus the Rays. 22.1% will take Dodgers and Astros. 21.1%, close vote there, say Dodgers and Rays. And 7.5% say Braves and Astros. And if you break it down, there's only 29.6% of you want to see the Houston Astros play in the World Series. And that pretty much says it all. Martin tweets in and says, Blue Jays versus any National League team. I don't care if the bandwagon has stopped. I'm staying on. Also, bring Stroman back. Martin, thank you. Ollie tweets in after reading the early returns and says, Alex Anthopoulos factor? Question mark. Ollie, thank you. You know what? I think a lot of people are cheering for Alex. And why not? Alex Anthopoulos was a very popular general manager in Toronto. He was a guy who built and constructed the team that had the great success in both 15 and 16. We know they didn't go all the way. We knew he depleted the farm system to do it. We know the ramifications of that and what happened with Atkins and Shapiro coming in. But Alex is a very likable guy. He's a former Blue Jay front office guy, and I think a lot of people are wishing him well. That might be a part of it. They've put together a great team in Atlanta. They really have. I wouldn't want to be a L.A. Dodger front office type, though, if they don't win this time around. And Omer says Braves, just cheering for the Braves, so maybe he's an Alex fan as well. Your comments are welcome at the Raj 590, at the Raj 590. Poll will be up throughout the course of the night on who you'd like to see in the World Series. The second poll revolves, well, the bigger story of the day from Toronto hockey fans, and that's Joe Thornton signs a one-year deal with the Toronto Maple Leafs, $700,000. Now, I posted this question, I don't know the exact time frame, but just a bit before it was officially announced that Joe Thornton was signing with the Maple Leafs. I did not know at the time I posted the poll that Thornton was going to sign with the Maple Leafs. So I assumed, but the question still holds very truly. And now it's official. 1 year, $700,000. How do you feel about it? Yes or no? From a Leaf perspective, 70.3% of you say yes, 29.7% say no. For whom the bell tolls is a Twitter account that says they need a voice. So sure. Thank you. Sebastian tweets in, who cares with or without the only cup in Toronto? He will be in the Hall of Fame. Thank you, Sebastian. There's no question Joe Thornton's going to the Hockey Hall of Fame. Joe Thornton is one of the best players that has ever played in the NHL. And when you look at consistency of greatness, career stats, numbers, votes for MVP, all-stars, international competition, he ticks all the boxes. Joe Thornton, if he had announced his retirement today, goes to the Hall of Fame. But he didn't. He announced he's signing a one-year deal with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Your thoughts are welcome on Twitter at the Raj 590, email roger at sportsnet590.ca, or text 590-590. And if you're texting, please name and location like your comments. Dan Rusinowski knows the work of Joe Thornton very well in San Jose. He's the voice of the San Jose Sharks at KFOX 98.5 and joins us now to talk about it. Dan, thanks very much for jumping on and joining us today. And were you surprised that Jumbo Joe decided that one more one-year contract was going to be Toronto and not San Jose?
I can't say that I was completely surprised, but obviously it's kind of a bittersweet day for everybody in San Jose, given the importance that Joe Thornton has to the history of this franchise. We knew that he was considering all of his options, and we knew that he was going to play in Switzerland for Davos, and none of that was unprecedented. And the one-year contract scenario certainly hasn't been unprecedented here for a couple of years. So when he finally did make the decision, obviously a lot went into it, and he made it, and now we have the reality of it.
Have the reality indeed. So, Dan, talk to us about how Joe Thornton performed in the last couple of years, and maybe if you can put aside the sentiment, because, listen, I think anyone who's followed his great NHL career, and I just prefaced our discussion by saying he's a Hall of Famer. We all know that. He's had a great career. He's loved in hockey. He's had a terrific year. But people aren't paying you for the 2021 season for what you did in your 21 seasons. They're paying you for what you may still have left. Do you think Joe Thornton still has enough left as a player to at least somewhat or significantly improve or help a hockey team at this stage? Or is it all going to be about kind of leadership with him and don't expect too much from the playing standpoint? What are your thoughts?
No, my thought is that this is a guy that takes great care of himself. And if you look at the last couple of years, this past year with the Sharks, he had 31 points in 70 games. The year before, he had 51 points in 73 games. Let's think about this for just a second. For 2 years in a row, he had a combination ACL-MCL injury that, for a man of 39 and 40, obviously, or 38 and 39 heading into the seasons, would basically be big trouble for anybody even in their 20s. But this is a dedicated athlete who, as I said earlier, takes great care of himself. And I don't think that there was much more inspiration than watching Joe Thornton play in the Stanley Cup playoffs against the Edmonton Oilers with a torn ACL and a torn MCL. Actually, that was back in 17. So, geez, that's 4 years ago now. So 4 and 3 years ago, 2 years in a row, he had to come back from all of that. And I think that was as inspirational and as great a lesson for young players as to the meaning of courage and tenacity as far as the National Hockey League player is concerned. And it happens very late in his career. You know, we've had a great fortune here in San Jose for a long, long time to have people like Joe Thornton and Patrick Marleau on the roster to help young players. And, you know, the help that Marleau gave to youngsters like Austin Matthews and Mitchell Marner is still being felt in Toronto. And now Patty's back with the Sharks again to do that with some youngsters here and also make contributions. And I think you can expect the exact same thing from Joe Thornton. He has an incredible hockey mind. He's as competitive as anybody that will ever skate out of the Leafs dressing room. And he's somebody that I think, as you mentioned, definitely going to the Hall of Fame. And, you know, you talk about some of these things, Roger. He's one of only seven players in the history of the NHL in this category. 1,500 games, 400 goals, 1,000 assists, and 1,500 points. You take those four categories and say how many players in the NHL have ever done that. Only seven, and Wayne Gretzky's not one of them, because Gretz didn't play 1,500 games. So, the guys that did that are Jagr, Messier, Gordie Howe, Ron Francis, Yzerman, Ray Bourque, and Joe Thornton. I think that that shows you exactly how high this guy should be regarded in history in terms of his contributions to this game. And the best part also is just who he is. He's somebody that is a special human being, somebody that inspires everybody around him. He has a great love for the game. And, you know, we've heard so many times that when you have a love for the game of hockey, that gets you through some of the toughest slogs in the NHL season. You know, those dog days of the year when it's maybe kind of tough to get to the rink. And, you know, you come to the rink and you're 25 years old, and here's a guy 39, 40 years old, now 41, who's the happiest guy to be there. First guy, one of them on the ice, always. I'm always out there working with, the people like Brent Burns and Logan Couture and players of that nature. And just an inspiration to all those people. So that's what I expect he's going to do in Toronto. He's going to provide all of that. But as far as his physical play on the ice, I think he's going to be as healthy as he's been in the last couple of years because of the rest and because he has spent now a full campaign in the summer training, which, you know, the couple of years that he had those knee injuries, he wasn't able to do. He was rehabbing. So I just think that he's going to help the Maple Leafs quite a lot, and he'll be at his best when it matters the most. I don't have any doubt of that.
Dan Rozanowski with us from KFOX 98.5, voice of the Sharks. Dan, do you think Sharks fans will resent the fact that Joe Thornton has decided to finish his career in Toronto? If this had been a multi-year deal, and you kind of went through the same thing when Patrick Marleau left the Sharks to come for the Maple Leafs, but he was a few years younger, and it was a multi-year deal, and that's a little different. Now he returns to finish in San Jose, but how are people, not just the fans, but management and the players, and I heard Doug Wilson talk very, very flatteringly about it, and that's when I knew Thornton wasn't resigning in San Jose, because he was trying to, I read between the lines that he was cushioning people for the fact of, you know what, we love him, we'd like him to finish here, but he's got to do what he wants to do. In other words, he's thinking he wants to finish somewhere else. He's going home. Will people resent that at all?
Well, you may recall when Patrick Marleau, after 20 years, well, 19 fully with the San Jose Sharks, came back to the Shark Tank in the uniform of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and what a reception that he got. I don't think it's going to be any different with Joe Thornton. There are going to be a lot of emotions whenever that does happen, assuming that the Maple Leafs and Sharks do play against each other in 2021, which I'm hoping that they do. But you know what? I think the fans here understand that sort of thing, and there's no resentment. Last time we kind of really felt this, I suppose, you know, certainly most intensely, was when Eddie Belfour was traded here for a lot of pieces, was offered a lot of money to stay, and chose to go to Dallas. He became persona non grata and kind of one of the great villains in Sharks history over the years. But none of that's ever going to happen to Joe Thornton. From the moment that he became a San Jose Shark on the 2nd of December 2005, and I remember that date very well in Buffalo, when on his first shift he hit the crossbar, had a couple of assists in a Sharks win against Buffalo. First time actually that San Jose in franchise history had won in Buffalo to that point. I just think that he has transformed the franchise. He has put the Sharks on top of the map in terms of all of the sports franchises here and equally regarded. And he's made this team, if you look at the record of the club the last 15 years that he's been here, they've been among the best teams in the National Hockey League year in, year out. They've been to the Stanley Cup final once. They've gone to the conference final now a whole bunch of times in 04 and then in 10 and 11. And then, of course, the Stanley Cup final in 16. And then 2019, when they lost to the eventual Stanley Cup champion, St. Louis Blues. So that's the legacy that Joe Thornton has brought, not only of success on the ice and all of those accolades that we're talking about, but also what it means to be a professional, what it really means to love the game and bring that into your professional life, and also to, you know, to balance the family that he has with his life on the ice. I just think he's been, as many people have said, the total package here. I have so much respect for him. He treated everybody really well. He took the time to spend time with everybody, and I think that's just one of the most joyful things that I can recall. Just him taking me aside a few times and having a nice chat with me about a variety of topics, not necessarily hockey, but certainly expressing that he was interested in and wanted to know more about what was going on in my life too. So I think that he's like that, and that's just the kind of human being he is.
That's nice to hear, and not surprising either. One more before we let you go, Dan. It's sad for Sharks fans and people around the franchise that Jumbo Joe elects to move on, but Patrick Marleau coming back has got to be an exciting thing too, and all the stuff that you talked about that Joe Thornton brought to the team, Marleau certainly will do that yet again.
Well, that's true, and you know, you never say never for any of these things. Joe Thornton signed a one-year deal with the Maple Leafs, and he's only 41. He's young for 41, so you never know what might happen in the future. But I have to say this, Patrick Marleau coming back for a second time is very exciting for Sharks fans. And you know, he's only 45 games away from passing Gordie Howe in the number one position in games played in the history of the National Hockey League. And that will happen this season, assuming that there's at least 45 games played. You think about the fact that Patrick Marleau, at age 41, has played in well over 850 consecutive games. Nobody on that Ironman streak in the NHL above 500 straight games is anywhere near his age. Most of those guys did that at a much younger age. And so I just think that he's another one of these guys that's a special talent, but also somebody who has bled teal as Joe Thornton has wanted the absolute best. And, you know, he got the reception you saw. I mean, fans in Toronto certainly saw and listened to, if they were listening on the radio, to the way that fans, responded to Patrick Marleau. He went to Pittsburgh this time. That didn't work out for him in a bid to win the Stanley Cup, and he's re-signed here. So, yes, that does definitely soften the blow a little bit of losing somebody as valuable as Joe Thornton. But let's not forget, too, there's a lot of exciting younger players. Logan Couture, who is from the London, Ontario area, is, I think, developing into one of the better captains in the Western Conference. I think he's a real leader. And if you look at his performance in the playoffs, he's learned a lot of that from Joe Thornton. But now it's his time to be that mentor to some of the youngsters. You know, Ozzie Weisblatt just signed a contract with his team. First-round draft pick, 31st overall. A guy like Logan Couture is going to continue that tradition. And that's really a big part of what Joe Thornton and Patrick Marleau established here. That continuing tradition of excellence, the love of the game that you can't forget about, the balance with the family and with people around you, and also just the real straight professionalism when it comes time to go to work each and every day. So everybody in San Jose is really thrilled about having Patrick Marleau back. And when he was here last year, he did a really good job. You know, we know that these guys aren't the players that were 15, 20 years ago, but they still can provide a tremendous amount of value for the organizations that they're with. And Marlo's going to continue to do that for the Sharks, and I know Joe will do that in Toronto without a question of a doubt.
Well, then both teams will be pretty happy with the developments of Marleau going back to the Sharks and Thornton signing a one-year deal with the Leafs. Dan Rozenowski, KFOX 98.5, voice of the Sharks, joining us here tonight. Dan, great of you to jump on the show with us. Really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Absolutely, Roger. And here's to a Sharks-Leafs final in 2021.
Hey, I'll take that. That'll be just fine. Thank you. Dan Rozenowski from KFOX.
See you later.
Take care. 98.5, Leafs and Sharks, Stanley Cup final. Well, yeah, lots to happen before then. But boy, the Marleau Thornton era in San Jose sure ended in a funny kind of a way, didn't it? At the Rog 590 is where you comment and vote on our polls. At the Rog 590 on Twitter. Email Roger at sportsnet590.ca. Text 590-590. Patrick Marleau was on The Good Show. We'll hear a portion of that as he talks about himself deciding to stay in San Jose and what Joe Thornton might bring to the Maple Leafs. That's coming up next as Sportsnet Tonight continues. I'm Roger Lajoie on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Tonight on the Sportsnet Radio Network, Roger Lajoie with you until 8:30. We've got the National League Championship Series coming up at the bottom of the next hour. The Atlanta Braves lead the Los Angeles Dodgers 3-1. Alex Anthopoulos and his Braves hoping to move on to the World Series. Pre-game starts at 8:30. First pitch just after 9 o'clock. And after 8 o'clock Eastern Time, Mike Wildner will join us, Blue Jays play-by-play voice at Sportsnet 590. The Fan, talk about the Astros and Dodgers both facing elimination and how they might squirm out of that tonight, and more baseball talk as well. Reach the show on Twitter at the Rog 590. Email Roger at sportsnet590.ca. Text 590-590. All right, the big story of the day is, no question, Joe Thornton signing his deal with the Toronto Maple Leafs. One-year deal, $700,000. Peanuts. Veterans minimum. Nothing to that contract. In a salary cap of $81 million, nothing lost there. Patrick Marleau did the same thing, but he decided to stay in San Jose. His reasoning and why he thinks Joe Thornton decided to go to Toronto was among the topics on The Good Show when he was on earlier. Let's listen in to Patrick Marleau.
You're still trying to chase that Stanley Cup, and you still really want it, and you're trying to defy age. You're kind of keep going like deeper in your career, and there is, like, you do have a brother in arms with Joe Thornton in this way, right? Like, he just signed a deal to play in the Swiss League, and there's a ton of rumors that he wants to keep playing. He's been linked to Toronto. He's been linked to San Jose. What do you think about Joe coming back and just his ability at this point to do it? Like, what would we maybe overlook when we see a guy who has his numbers declining a little bit? Because he's clearly very legendary as a leader and as a presence in the room. But how do you see his game moving forward over the next couple of years? Like, the work that he puts in.
Yeah, I mean, he does put in the work. He does keep himself in great shape. And I think one thing that's always been constant in his game is, you know, the size and reach, the way he can protect pucks, and obviously his vision. And none of that's changed over his career. You know, he still knows where guys are on the ice. He knows where guys are going, and that allows him to, you know, still be one of the better players on the ice.
You don't have to divulge state secrets, and he's your buddy. You can protect his secrecy. But has he at all leaned on you, asked you about the market, what it was like playing in Toronto?
We've texted back and forth, but we talked a lot last year about you know, kind of things that I had to go through. And but I mean, he's been through it before. I mean, coming from Boston to San Jose, so he knows what it was. I didn't know what it was like. I didn't know what guys go through when they go to a new team and if they do have a family. So it was a big eye opener for myself, and I think it helped. It's helped me, you know, help become a better leader. I think helping guys who do come to the club I'm at or going to a different club, you know, try and talk to them and let them know. But I think there's a lot that goes into it. You know, guys. People on the outside just see the player go from one place to another, but if they have a wife and kids, there's a lot that's going on in the background away from the rink, and you got to try and make everything happen pretty seamlessly and help them out any way you can.
Yeah, and not to mention, like, you adopted some of the Leafs' young players. Like, you had to file those adoption papers, and you had to feed them. It's like, teach them how to tie their skates, all those different things that you ended up having to do with, like, Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews. And, yeah, the Thornton thing is super interesting with you two guys, though, especially since when you came over here, there were also rumors that there was potential for both of you to come at the exact same time. How real was that? Like, how close do you think that actually came to fruition, you and Joe Thornton arriving in Toronto in the same year?
You'd probably have to ask Joe about how close he was, but I know we had, you know, we had some texts and some calls, but, you know, even though we're pretty close, I think, you know, it's one of those decisions that you have to make yourself, and you just kind of gather info. So, I think he was just coming off. He just had knee surgery, too, so that probably had a lot to do with his decision-making process that year.
So I always tell people, though, and this will be the last one on Joe, but whenever we do get a chance to talk to people on and off the record, Joe Thornton stories are always great. Like, they're just usually very, very good. And, you get a pretty clear sense that he's a really liked teammate, that he's a loved teammate. If you were going to share one Joe Thornton story with us, what would it be?
Oh, boy. There's too many to choose from, but I think you just said it there, though. He loves being around the guys. He loves having a good time. He loves bringing everybody together. But there's always seemed to be some kind of conversation he'll bring up, you know, has something to do, trainers have to do, some kind of challenge. He'll challenge the trainers to, he's had trainers, you know, do races or do like an Olympics against each other. He likes pitting like two trainers against each other and have them do like a certain, like a vertical jump or bench press or, you know, you name it. He'll try and make them do like a little competition, or that's just one of the things. But you know, he does that with the players too. You know, just that friendly competitiveness that seems to bring people together.
Talking to Patrick Marleau, San Jose Sharks forward. So, I mean, it's a different market. You experienced it firsthand. Yeah, he knows about being traded, but leaving that market in Northern California and coming to the hockey mecca that is Toronto has got to be different. Was there anything about it that you thought was going to be one way, ended up being another? Anything surprise you about changing markets that you would tell Joe about?
I went there with a pretty open mind. I didn't know, you know, I kind of heard what to expect a little bit, but I think for the most part, it was pretty seamless. I don't know if there's any one thing that sticks out. I think obviously there's the huge media presence there, but it was pretty manageable. I think as a club, I think they're doing a lot of good things there, and the media is really taken to the Leafs and what they have going there. So at the time that I was there, I think everything was on the up and up, and I think it still is with obviously Mitch and Austin there, and all the other great players, Morgan Riley, and the core that they have there is something special, and I think they're going to be a good team for a lot of years.
Toronto Maple Leafs certainly hope Patrick Marleau's summation of where the Leafs are at is true. And Joe Thornton obviously at least thinks enough that it could be possible to sign a one-year $700,000 deal with the Maple Leafs today. That's Patrick Marleau on The Good Show, obviously, before the news broke that Thornton has picked the Leafs for a one-year deal at age 41. Exciting day, fun day. At the Rog 590, your comments are welcome. Email Roger at sportsnet590.ca. Text 590-590. We'll read them all in the next hour. Coming up, Mike Wilner will join us to chat about the American League and National League Championship Series before we go to Game 5 of the NLCS at the bottom of the next hour. I'm Roger Lajoie. Sportsnet Tonight continues on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Don't get left in the dark. Let us shine a light on everything you need to know. This is Sportsnet Tonight on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Sportsnet Tonight on the Sportsnet Radio Network. I'm Roger Lajoie, here to the bottom of the hour, at which time we'll go to the National League Championship Series pregame show on ESPN Radio. The Atlanta Braves look to finish off the Los Angeles Dodgers. Braves have the Dodgers down 3-1. So on first glance, you'd think, well, geez, that's going to be really tough for the Dodgers. Well, no doubt going to be really tough for the Dodgers to win 3 in a row. But how about the Houston Astros? Houston Astros were down 3-0 in their series to Tampa Bay, win one, win another, and now up 6-1, middle of the fifth inning against Tampa Bay in game 6 of the ALCS. So still lots of baseball left in those Houston Astros. Joining us to chat about the ALCS and the NLCS is Mike Wilner, Blue Jays play-by-play voice at Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Sportsnet Radio Network, as we get ready to bring tonight's Game 5 of the NLCS to you, and of course the World Series, all games right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Sportsnet Radio Network, as we'll have them all for you. Mike joins us now. Mike, great to chat with you as always. Hope you are safe and well. And well, let's start with what the Houston Astros got going against the Tampa Bay Rays. Mike, after the first game, three games of the series, looked like the Astros had no life left. They got plenty of life left right now.
Yeah, I think a lot of people just tend to write teams off when they're down by a certain amount, but it never works that way. You've said it before, because the odds state that X is going to happen doesn't mean that X is going to happen. It means that that's the way it's always happened. It's very, very difficult to win four games in a row, but you can't think of it as winning four games in a row. You have to think about it as winning one game four times. It's the only way you can do it. And, you know, you win the first one, then that gives you a chance to win the second one, and that gives you the chance to win the third. I think that we all, I hope that we all are very, very hopeful that that's not the way it's going to go down, that if Tampa doesn't come back tonight, they'll come back tomorrow. But sadly, the Houston Astros appear to be a good team.
Yes, they do. Unpopular, but they are a good team and battling back, leading 4-1 as they head to the bottom of the fifth inning against Tampa Bay, trying to come back. What do you think's happened the last couple of games? It looks like the Astros, in terms of, you know, you talk about the clutch hitting they had during their time, and put the cheating scandal aside and everything we hate about the Astros, with good reason, believe me, Mike, but the reasons we do, this team's got a lot of playoff experience, and it looks like it's really coming to the front here. They've got their mojo back, looks like.
It does look like they do. I can't put any of that stuff to the side, because I think the clutch hitting, a lot of it comes from the cheating scandal. You know, these guys aren't a bunch of scrubs, even though they do have a pitcher actually named Scrub. But they're, you know, Alex Bregman was a second overall pick. Carlos Correa was a first overall pick. There's some serious pedigree with these players before they even got to the Houston Astros. But, yeah, they've got a ton of playoff experience, but a lot of that playoff experience is when they knew what pitches were coming. So, you know, I don't really know what you can take from that, other than they've just sort of been here before in this environment. But a lot of guys have said already that, you know, what makes the playoffs isn't just what's at stake, but the deafening sounds in the ballpark and the atmosphere and the energy from the fans. And none of that's happening right now. So I'm not quite sure what playoff experience does here, but you know, I'm not willing to discount all of the Astros playoff experience, but I do think, you know, rather a lot of it came when, again, they knew what pitches were coming, so it doesn't really count the same for me.
No, and that's a fair comment, and I think most people would agree, and hence that hatred of the Astros. So from Tampa Bay's perspective, Mike, we saw it firsthand in the series against the Blue Jays. They're just a very good baseball team. They don't beat themselves. They find ways to win. They have great pitching. They're really, I don't want to call it old school. There's nothing old school about it. It's just a team that does not beat themselves and limits the mistakes they made. And that was the case largely against the Yankees. And it was the case in the first couple of games. And I guess maybe the concerning part for them is, I think it was also the case in the last two games against the Astros. They gave up a walk-off homer. The games were tight. And I think it was the U.S. crew that was commenting on the game when I was watching on TV the other night that said, you know, the Astros are beating the Rays the way the Rays usually beat teams. Just talk about that in terms of what Tampa Bay solace they can take. And I know we're in the middle of a game as we speak right now, but this series is getting closer and closer to getting away from them.
Yeah, I mean, once you get to a game seven, flip a coin, right? Anything can happen, and you hate to be there after you've already been up 3-0, but unless Tampa's got a nice little rally in them, that seems to be the way this thing is heading. And look, here's how Tampa beats you. Tampa hits enough, but takes away hits and has an absolutely shutdown bullpen. And that's what they did in the first 3 games of this series. They took hits away. Joey Wendell has been doing like this incredible Brooks Robinson impression over at third base. He's been unbelievable for them. Brandon Lau has been great. Willie Adames had that great line drive spear that he turned into a huge double play at one point. Even he saw Choi throwing the leather around. And they've got 3 center fielders in the outfield, even without Kevin Kiermaier, who's got the wrist thing. They take hits away. They don't just make the routine plays. So that helps their pitching a ton. And they've got 78 guys in the bullpen who throw from 1,000 different arm angles, who a lot of these guys have never seen before, and that helps contribute to it too. So they've done a lot of that stuff, and they've done a lot of it really well. What they haven't done is hit at all. Like Randy Rosarena is hitting 400 and the rest of the team's hitting 120. And so it's very, very difficult to sustain winning when you're just not hitting at all. And it's not runners in scoring position, and it's not, you know, anything. It's everything. It's everybody but this one guy is not hitting even remotely. So that's going to have to change. And where the Rays have gotten lucky is that they've gotten some leads and been able to hold on to it because the pitching, especially the back end pitching, has been so good. But, you know, how are you supposed to come back from when you're down 4-1 when you're hitting 130?
Yeah, and not scoring runs is a major problem when you're behind in ball games. Sounds like stating the obvious, but it's exactly right, Mike. The complexion of the game completely changes, especially for teams like Tampa Bay that don't have a lot of comeback power when they get behind. And they're behind 4-1 now as we speak in the bottom of the fifth inning, still leading the series 3-2. We'll keep an eye on that one. We will bring you game 5 of the NLCS with the pregame show starting at the bottom of the hour as the Braves lead the Dodgers 3-1. Full credit to Atlanta in this one, Mike. However, you know, it just shows you that anyone talks about momentum in baseball really got, I mean, they shouldn't need any more lessons into how each day's momentum begins and ends with the next day's starting pitching. But games 3 and games 4 of this series definitely showed that. The Dodgers score 11 runs in the first inning, historic performance, of course, get back into the series. The Braves get a brilliant effort from a young kid taking on Clayton Kershaw in game 4, and it's another lopsided win for the Braves. Braves and Dodgers have scored about the same number of runs in this series, but Atlanta is up 3-1, and yet tonight they go with another rookie against the Dodgers. Do the Braves have enough pitching to close this down?
To win one of the next 3 games? Sure, absolutely they do. Look, the Dodgers have had 3 big innings in 5 games, and that's in 4 games, and that's been it for their offense, which is crazy because they're a much, much, much better team than that. And yeah, they've scored the same amount of runs, but when you win one game by 12, that's going to mess with your run differential for sure, and it skews the results. But look, that's a weird one too, because tonight you got AJ Minter, who's a reliever. So this is an opener. If they get 5 out, I think they'll be thrilled, and then they got to build their pitching from there. But it's interesting to see what happens in a playoff series, a 7-game series with no off days, because you know it's always been that in the playoffs depth doesn't matter because you've got so many days off within the playoffs. You can in the World Series in 2017, I want to say, Brandon Morrow pitched in every game, every one of the 7 games. Might have been 18. I think it was 17. I can't remember. But Brandon Morrow pitched in every one of the 7 games. No chance that happens this year in the playoffs because you don't have those 2 off days in the middle of the series. And so teams that have crappy fifth starters aren't starting them because just – Let's go with the bullpen day instead and see where that gets you. But look, the Los Angeles Dodgers are the best team in baseball, period. End of story. Can they win 3 in a row? Absolutely, they can win 3 in a row. Atlanta's pretty good, too. So, can they win 1 of 3? For sure they can win 1 of 3, especially since you've got, after today, Max Fried and then Ian Anderson coming back at the Dodgers, and they pitched so well in the first 2 games of this series. The Braves should be beyond thrilled to be where they are right now because they're a heavy underdog for a reason. Not to cast aspersions on Atlanta. They're a good team. The Dodgers are the best team in the game. But in a best of 7, a lot of times that best team doesn't always win. So Atlanta's done a wonderful job to put itself in a position now where it only has to win 1 out of the next 3 games to move to the World Series, and the Dodgers can't afford to make any mistakes. But look how the Astros are creeping back, right? So it's the same sort of thing where the Astros, I would say, are not a significantly better team than Tampa Bay. The Dodgers probably are with regards to Atlanta.
I would agree with that. And I think most people would agree that not only the Dodgers might be the best team in Major League Baseball this year, they might have been the best team in Major League Baseball the last 6 or 7 years. They've won multiple division titles. They've been to 2 World Series, lost one in really heartbreaking fashion, and lost another very close one to the Boston Red Sox. But outside, and you know, we talk about at the end of a season, what teams do if they win, what's at stake, whether they win or not. End of the day, I mean, the Dodgers, is it fair enough to say, have done pretty much everything you can do in the last 6-7 years except win a World Series? And is there anything they can be faulted for either in this playoff or any time in the last few years? If you're the Dodgers, if they lose again, you just say, all right, let's try again next year.
I mean, what else can you do, right? You can maybe say, oh, Dave Roberts should have taken out Clayton Kershaw before he gave up that home run to Marcell Ozuna last night. But that's it. I'm leaving Kershaw in to face Freddie Freeman left on left before that, and Freeman got a game-breaking hit. Sure, Ozuna has destroyed lefties, and maybe you're going to yank Kershaw there, but ultimately, does it wind up making a difference? Maybe left him in one batter too long. That's something that Dave Roberts will do every once in a while. He takes a lot of criticism because, you know, some say he treats Clayton Kershaw like he's Clayton Kershaw 5 years ago, and he's not anymore. And it's unfortunate that, you know, he pitched a hell of a game into the sixth inning, but now that playoff reputation continues to get sunk because he was on the hook for a few of those runs for the batter and change the probably shouldn't have been in to face. But no, I mean, what can you do? It's like it goes further than what Billy Beane said. You know, remember at the height of the Moneyball era when Oakland just could not win in the playoffs despite being in there every year, Billy, to paraphrase, said, the stuff I do doesn't work in the playoffs because the playoffs are an entirely different animal. You can build your team to win over 162 games to get to the playoffs, and then you get to the playoffs and stuff doesn't matter anymore. I mean, now depth matters more than it has before, and the Dodgers have a crap load of depth. But it's still a best of seven. And in a best of seven, you can take the best team in the league and play them against a worst team in the league, and that worst team's going to win that series 38% of the time. So, I mean, it really, you kind of have to look at the playoffs. And I know this isn't the way that we want to look at athletes. We like to talk about our champions and the heart of a champion and all of that stuff and how they're so great that no matter what the odds and all that stuff, for the most part, that's an enormous load of crap. It's so much luck. Luck has so much to do with who wins short series and ultimately who wins championships. And the Dodgers, 8 division titles in a row, you know, you could make a very, very good argument that they got cheated out of the World Series in 2017 and they got cheated out of the World Series again in 2018 and should have won both those titles, but the teams against them were actively cheating and have been punished, quote-unquote, by their league offices. So that's unfortunate for the Dodgers. But other than that, it's just been dumb luck that has kept them from winning the whole thing.
You talked about Kershaw, and I agree. Last night, he pitched a very good ball game for the most part in the home run, and his final line really didn't show how well he had pitched. But, Mike, end of the day, when you look at his career and body of work, regular season against playoffs, and yes, regular season is 95% of his resume because regular seasons are 162 games, and playoff games are, as we know, just a handful of games. I get all that. But, you know, he just, for whatever reason, has never been the same kind of presence pitcher in the postseason as he has been in the regular season. And people said that, and with good reason, about a guy who opted out of this year, David Price as well. But then David Price in his last World Series comes and performs extremely well and maybe erases a little bit of this. Do you think Kershaw has that opportunity to do that? And I know, and I side with you, I do agree. Overall, it's just a matter of, you know, luck and bounces and where your career is at and which individual game is at. But boy, you hate to see any athlete end his career with, you know, a regular season ERA of 2 and a postseason ERA of 5. Do you expect Kershaw to have that opportunity to kind of erase that in the kind of way that Price at least took care of a little bit when he finally did a good job with the Red Sox?
I don't know that the Price really erased it. I would think more of, for me, it's more guys like, you know, remember how we used to talk about John Elway and Peyton Manning, right? They couldn't win the big game. They weren't champions. They weren't big game players. And that all goes away, right? Kershaw, I don't know. He's 33. I don't know how many more opportunities he's going to get. But if the Dodgers come back and win the series and he pitches twice in the World Series and pitches great, then maybe that helps to changed the way people talk about him. And it is unfortunate that, you know, you're looking at these little tiny samples where he's never pitched as many as 16 innings in a single playoff, and they all add up, and a lot of them haven't been terrific, and he's gotten blown up a few times, and it does. It's terrible for him that he's sitting there with a postseason ERA of 4.31 for his career. But you know, when I look at Clayton Kershaw, I'm going to look at the 2,300 innings that he's pitched and been one of the best in the game, rather than the 180 that he's pitched in the playoffs and you know, to that 95% to 5% thing. It is too bad. It really is. But that's just the way people talk about sports. And if you're an all-time great who doesn't win in the playoffs, then you're a failure, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah, you see it in all sports, and especially so in baseball for whatever reason. Mike Woolner is play-by-play voice of the Toronto Blue Jays on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Sportsnet Radio Network. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we have the pregame show of the Braves and Dodgers Game 5 of the NLCS, followed by the call. Mike, always great to talk with you. Stay safe and well, my friend.
You too, Raj. Thank you.
Thank you. Mike Woolner, play-by-play voice of the Blue Jays on the Sportsnet Radio Network. There is no doubt that the overall body of work of any athlete, pitcher, whatever the sport is the overall body of work. But as Mike pointed out, and I will second and further, when you don't get it done in the postseason, well, the difference is, first of all, we're all watching, and not every game is created equal. Every game in baseball, especially because the game is dominated by individual stats, the hitter is trying to get a hit and the pitcher is trying to get an out. It does not matter the circumstances, always, everything. But boy, on the center stage, tough to take, especially for a guy like Kershaw. We'll see. There may be some baseball left in the Dodgers. There's certainly baseball left in the Astros. They've added another run against the Rays. It's now 5-1. Top of the sixth inning at the ALCS, and the Astros threatening to tie that series up at 3-3. We'll have the pregame of the NLCS Game 5 coming up at the bottom of the hour. We've got a couple of minutes to get to our text at 590-590 from the Joe Thornton signing earlier today, and thanks again to Gord Stelick and Mike Woolner for joining us earlier on the program. We've got Frank in Guelph, who says the Leafs have always lacked grit and grind when it matters. Simmons and Thornton can finally show the young players how to play that hockey. Frank, thank you. Mike and I were just talking about Kershaw, players not performing, defined by what you do. And I'm not going to say Joe Thornton was not a good playoff performer, because he was a good playoff performer. But Joe Thornton, Patrick Marleau, a lot of guys like that they've had Hall of Fame careers. And they're without a championship. But I guess the difference is, how do you perform, even in a team sport, in the playoffs compared to the regular season? If you're a 50-goal scorer in your career in hockey, to use hockey as the example, and you never score a goal in the postseason, you're still a Hall of Famer, but you have that stigma. Now, if you're a 50-goal scorer in the regular season and you score 10 goals every year in the playoffs, but your team never wins and you have bad bounces, that's different. I don't think people hold it against Clayton Kershaw that the Dodgers haven't won a World Series. What people hold against Clayton Kershaw, and maybe to a certain extent Joe Thornton, I don't know, but Joe, like I said, Joe's playoff numbers are pretty good. They hold it against him that you're not as good as in the playoffs as you are in the regular season. And to me, that's a big difference maker. You can't harm somebody who's hitting 400 in the postseason if his team doesn't win the World Series and call him a loser because he didn't play in the World Series. But if he hits 080, maybe a different argument. Thank you for that, Frank. Eddie in High Park says Jumbo is a great, great cheap signing. Still have to move out some heavier contracts. Still a couple of RFAs they can sign. Welcome to T.O. Big Joe. Centers are locked in. Eddie, thank you. Herson in Mississauga wants to know, is Corey Perry next for Toronto at a discount? Herson, thank you. I think this kind of discounted veteran, cheap one-year deal is pretty much done with the Maple Leafs now. And Corey Perry is another guy who fits into that mold of somebody who he may wind up taking a cheaper deal. But now you have Bogosian and Spezza and Thornton. Don't think so. But who knows? Another player that can help you. David in the 6 says, if the Leafs are trying to center the market on I wouldn't mind seeing that guy win a cup, guys, then they're doing a good job. How they affect the process remains to be seen. But I like the signing. And yeah, David, thank you. So do I. I think that pretty much says it all. Charles in Guelph says, I feel like the Leafs are the old Bruins of 2015. Charles, thank you. Well, that wouldn't be such a bad thing when you think about it. And John in Waterloo says, good evening, sir. The matchup I would like to see is Dodgers and Astros. The storyline is too good for sure. And finally, Tony in the Hammer says, the first poll question, Raj, I'd like to see the Rays and the Braves. A part of me would like to see Dusty Baker make it to the World Series and finally win it. I'm torn here. Well, thank you. Always great to hear from you all. Tony, thank you. You can listen in now because the Braves and the Dodgers are coming up with the pregame show in just moments. Thanks to our technical director, Danielle Furtado, our producer, Kyle Norris. I'm Roger Lajoie. I'll join you tomorrow afternoon with Josh Goldberg between 3 and 7. But stick around. Coming up next, the National League Championship Series, Braves and Dodgers, right here on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Roger Lajoie.
It's done. See you later.
Roger Lajoie.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Good night, everybody.